Okay, hello. Okay, we were doing the shiur, we're continuing from last week on the topic of the life and death of the David's general, Yoav ben Tzruya, which was last week's Haftarah. Now, we mentioned last week, the first thing we mentioned about what even though Yoav was an amazingly great person. We mentioned last week that it was Yoav that enabled David to study Torah. The Gemara says without Yoav looking after the army, looking after all of the technical things of the Jewish people, David could never have achieved what he did. It was Yoav who enabled David to judge the Jewish people. He enforced judgment. We mentioned that Yoav had kfitzas haderech, which means that when Yoav needed to get to a destination, Hashem made miracles for him to get there in record speed. We mentioned that Yoav excelled in hospitality. We brought the Gemara in Sanhedrin that said, Kamidbar, that by Yikover b'meisei b'midbar, it says he was buried in his house in the desert. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Ma midbar mid mufkar lakoil, af beisei, Yoav's house is also Mufkar Lakoyim, is Hefker to everyone. We also mentioned that his house is compared to a midbar, that it's clean. Migezel Varoyas, that Yoav was in honesty, never took a cent that wasn't his. His eyes never drifted to look where he shouldn't look. We mentioned that Yoav was very much into supporting the poor. Even when he captured a city, he would look after the poor people in the cities he captured. So we see from all these Gemaras and Midrashim that Yoav was a very great man. Nevertheless, David instructs his son Shlomo that because Yoav was guilty of the death of two generals, Avner and Amasa, therefore he instructed Shlomo that he should make sure to put Yoav to death. We mentioned that only by putting Yoav to death, We mentioned Arashi that only by putting Yoav to death, then he would be able to have Olam Haba. It would save him from Gehenim. Now, Shlomo delegated the looking after Yoav to Binayahu ben Yehoyada, who was Binayahu ben Yehoyada, became Shlomo's top man. He was a person who was a great tzaddik, a general, the head of Sanhedrin, the person who helped with the Beis Hamikdash, an amazing person. And it was Binayahu ben Yehoyada that Shlomo delegated to deal with Yoav. We mentioned that when Binayahu came to Yoav and Yoav had run to the Mizbeah, and Binayahu tells him that he has instruction to have him killed. And Yoav says, "You already, David gave me a curse for the sins I did. If you want to have me put to death, I can't get two punishments for the same crime. Then Shlomo will have to take the curses." And Shlomo said he would take the curses. And actually, we said that the curses all were fulfilled on five of Shlomo's descendants. Anyway, and now we are up to the Din Torah where Binayahu, on behalf of King Shlomo, is having with Yoav. And we did some of this last week. This is all from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Tes, where Binayahu says, "My taima katlasei la'Avner. Why did you kill Avner?" Avner had been the general of Shaul and Ishbosheth. Officially, Yoav killed Avner. Avner came to make peace with David. He was ready to switch and support David's side. And David agreed with it. But Yoav wanted to have Avner put to death. Why did Yoav had a personal thing with Avner, that Avner had killed his brother Asael. The story with Avner and Yoav's brother Asael, that Avner instigated when there were two armies, Yoav's army and Avner's army, Yoav on behalf of David and Avner on behalf of Ishbosheth. And Yoav suggested that we should have a play fight, a wrestling match to see who's stronger. And they put 12 people on each team, and there were rules, but the rules weren't kept. In the end, all 12 people from both sides were killed, and people from both sides mixed in. And that day, that play fight costed more than 300 people died on Avner's side and on Yoav's side, on David's side, 19 people, as well as Asael. Now, Asael was a brother of Yoav. Asael was a very quick runner. It says in Tanakh that Asael ran as fast as a deer. And Asael was chasing Avner because he was very upset at General Avner for having instigated this play fight. And he was chasing Avner. Avner didn't want to kill Asael because he didn't want to get into trouble with Asael's two brothers, Yoav and Avishai, who were both top generals and warriors. And Avner tried to discourage, but Asael continued to chase him. Having no choice, Avner, self-defense, ended up killing Asael. So, and this is why Yoav felt Avner was deserving of death. And therefore, even though Avner had come to surrender and make peace with David, Yoav killed him for killing his brother Asael. So back to the Din Torah that Shlomo HaMelech, King Shlomo, delegated Binoyahu to put Yoav to death. But first he needs to give Yoav a chance to defend himself. Omar Leisa Binoyahu says to the general, Yoav, my taima katlasei la'Avner. Why did you kill Avner? You killed Avner, who was the general of Shoal and Ishbosheth. He had made peace with David HaMelech, and you killed him. Amar lei, so Yoav answers, Goyel hadam da soil havoi. I am a goyel hadam. The din is, if somebody kills your close relative, then you have a right to kill him. And he says, he killed my brother Asoil, so I have every right to kill him. Now this halacha that you can kill someone if he killed your relative does not apply if he killed him in self-defense. So Benoyahu now argues, what do you mean? It's true he killed your brother, but he killed him in self-defense. Asoel roidev hava. Asoel was a roidev. He was trying to kill Avner. Avner killed him in self-defense. You have no right to punish him for killing someone in self-defense. Omar Leh, so Yoav answers, it's not true. Avner didn't do it in self-defense because he could have saved him. He could have saved himself by knocking off his hand, his foot. He didn't have to kill him. And the fact that he killed him, he still is a murderer. And I still have a right. Yoav argued, I have every right halachically to kill Avner. I am innocent. Amar Leh Sabinoyahu, who is acting on behalf of King Shlomo, on behalf of David, says, Lo Yochele, Avner, Rashi says, Lo Yochele Avner Lechavim Becha Mishare Vodim. Avner at that point was not able to just get another limb. His life was in danger. A person's life is in danger. You shoot and you kill him wherever you kill him. Amar Leh, so Yoav answers back, it's not true. Avner was in full control of the situation because Avner gave Asoil one stab in the Dofen Chamishit, which is the where a person dies. I'm just going to try to mute some people to see if we'll get it quieter. If you... Okay, sorry about that. So what are we saying now? So Yoav says, if in the Dofen Chamishis, if he was able to strike him in the fifth rib, certainly he was in control of the situation. As the Pasuk says, Vayakeu Avner, Ba'acharei Hachanis El Hachemesh. Avner struck Asoil on the fifth rib. So Avner was in full control of the situation. And therefore, Avner had no right to kill my brother. And therefore, I had every right to kill Avner. And Rabbi Yochanan says he killed him. He cut him in the Dofen Chamishis, where over there, the person dies immediately. So Benayahu now is still trying to, before he can act on behalf of Shlomo to have a Yoav put to death, he has to find him guilty. On the story of Avner, he can't prove him guilty because Yoav claims that he's a Goyel Adam, that he had every right. Omar Leis of Benayahu says, Nezel Avner, let's leave Avner alone. As Rashi says, Dinoi shall Avner poter at olav. The law of Avner, we are accepting your defense that you were a Goyel Hadam and you were allowed to kill Avner. We're not going to put you to death for killing Avner. But now the next crime that you did, my taima kotla say, la amosa. Why did you kill Amosa? Just to put it in perspective, who was Amosa? Amosa is also a nephew of David. David has two sisters, Tsruya and Avigail. Tsruya is the mother of David's three warriors, Yoav, Avishai, and Asoel. And Amosa is the son of David's sister, Avigail. Quite an interesting point that Amosa's father is known as Yeser HaYisraeli and Yeser HaYishmaeli, who actually Amosa's father was originally an Arab, a Yishmaeli, who once heard Yishai giving a shir, and Yishai was saying, Pnu Eilai v'hivoshu kol afse oretz, that any human being anywhere on planet Earth should come and connect to Hashem. And because hearing these words, this Yeser, this Arab, decided to convert and became Jewish and became very dedicated to Torah. And he actually eventually married Yishai's daughter, Avigail. There was a time that they were going to disqualify David from being Roy Lovi Lekol because he was a descendant of Rus, who was from Moab, and it was actually this Arab convert who was Yeser HaYisraeli, HaYishmaeli, who defended David's lineage. And he says that at the time that I married into Yishai's family, I asked Shmuel HaNavi, and Shmuel HaNavi said that the prohibition, because there was a question on David's lineage, the same question on Yishai's lineage, on Avigail, who was this Yeser's wife, Amosa's mother. And he says, I asked Shmuel HaNavi. And Shmuel HaNavi said, the prohibition of marrying converts from Amin and Moab only applies to the men and not to the women. Amini v'loy Aminis, Moavi v'loy Moavis. So it was actually, and then they were still trying to disqualify. There was then, who was it? David's arch enemy, which was Doeg HaAdomi, was trying hard to disqualify him. And at that point, Yeser took out who was this Arab convert, took out a sword, and he says, I am testifying in the name of Shmuel HaNavi that he said that the prohibition of marrying into Amin and Moav does not apply to the women. Anybody who's going to argue with me, I'm going to kill him on the spot. As he threatened to kill people on the spot, because he still had certain Arab traits that he was able to use weapons. And it solved the problem. The Gemara later asks, how does it solve a problem halakhically? Yes, people got scared, but how does it deal with halakha? And the Gemara says, because he had a good halakhic argument. He says, I checked with Shmuel HaNavi. If you want to disqualify David, you have to get Shmuel HaNavi. Shmuel HaNavi is still alive. In any case, back to Amosa. Amosa had originally been on Shaul with Shaul. He actually was with Shaul at some point against David. We mention this Amosa every Maitse Shabbos in V'yitin Lecha. We mention V'ruach Lovsa as Amosa Reish HaShalishim when Amosa joined up with David. Later, Amosa was a supporter of the rebellion of Avshalim, David's son, and he became the top general of Avshalim. After Avshalim died, Amosa came to make peace and connect to David again. David at that time was quite negative to Yoav. First of all, Yoav had killed Avner. And second of all, Yoav killed. David had given instructions that even though his son Avshalim had made a revolution and caused the civil war amongst the Jewish people to have mercy on Avshalom. Yoav decided when Avshalom was riding on a mule and got caught by his ear and was hanging from a branch, and Yoav found out about it, Yoav gave instructions to his men to have him killed against Dovin's instructions. Because Yoav knew that by killing of Avshalom, we will end the civil war and it will save thousands of Jewish lives. Now, even though David did not want Avshalom killed, David knew that Yoav was 100% right in his killing of Avshalom. Avshalom was threatening Jewish people's lives. Avshalom had started a civil war. And by killing Avshalom, we would end the civil war. So Yoav was right. And David never mentioned about the killing of Avshalom. But still in his heart, David was negative over it. And because of this, he decided that he wanted Amasa to become his new general. At that point, right after the rebellion of Avshalom was finished, because Avshalom was killed when he was hanging by his ear, at that point, there was a fellow, Sheva ben Bichri, who said, who needs David? Who needs his family? And he started a new revolution. And David asked Amasa to gather an army and put down this revolution. Yoav, hearing that David had asked Amasa to gather an army, Yoav felt that Amasa was threatening his position as the chief of the armed forces. So he had Amasa killed, which we'll soon discuss details. So he says, you killed Amasa, and Amasa had made peace with David. It was against David's instructions. Amar Lei, so Yoav says, Amasa made a b'malchus hava. Amasa had rebelled against the king. Now he's not accusing him because he rebelled and supported Avshalom, because for that David forgave him. But he says he's made b'malchus after that he rebelled against David, because David had told Amasa, David HaMelech had told Amasa, Hazek li yes ish Yehuda shloishes yomim, gather an army from Yehuda in 3 days to put down this new rebellion of Sheva ben Bichri. Vayelech Amasa lahazik es Yehuda. Amasa went to gather an army. Vayoicher, and Amasa came late. Amasa did not come at the end of 3 days. He was given an instruction to gather an army within 3 days. Omar Le, so he says, so Benoyahu says, Amasa was right for delaying the army. Why did Amasa disobey the instruction? There was a reason for it. It says that Amasa found that all the Jewish people, having just finished a civil war, all went to Beis Medrash, to Kollel, to all went to learn Torah. The Kollel was full of people, or the yeshivas were all full of people learning. And the question is, should you gather an army? Should you take people away from the Gemara or from whatever safer they're learning? Should you take people away from learning Torah to fight in an army? Amar Lei, so he says, Amasa achin verakin dorash. Amasa learned the meaning of the word ach. It says in Sefer Yehoshua that Moshe tells Yehoshua, Yehoshua is taking over as the king of the Jewish people. And Moshe tells Yehoshua that anyone who rebels against you should be put to death. And he says over there, rak chazak ve'emot. And from the word rak, we learn that there's a death penalty for disobeying a king, but not if the king tells you to go against the Torah. So Amasa had a big question here. David told him to gather an army within 3 days, but Halacha says that learning Torah is more important than going to the army. So the question is, should he obey David and gather the army, or should he wait because everybody's busy learning Torah? So Amasa achin verakin dorish. Amasa learned that the word ach or rak means that there are exceptions to this rule. Yes, there's a death penalty for disobeying the king, but if the king is telling you to go against the Torah, it's not applicable. So he goes on, Rashi explains, Ashkechon Amasa found the Jewish people, Shematzon Shoyo Oiskin B'Mesechet. They were all learning a Mesechta. They were all deeply involved in learning. V'Leiratzon Levatlon. Amasa did not want to stop the Jewish people from studying Torah. He's going on to explain. Amasa says halachically, studying Torah goes before the armies, before, because Hashem, the people who study Torah will help protect the Jewish people even more. And therefore, the Einoi Moire B'malchus, so Ben Yehu says, it's true Amasa disobeyed David, but he's not a Moire B'malchus, because it says in the Pasuk in Sefer Yeshua, Rak Chazak V'emotz, only be strong and courageous to be firm, but not always. If somebody disobeys the king because it says different in Torah, then you don't. So achin verakin miyutin. Whenever you have the word ach or rak, it's a miyut. Shimbo hamelech levatel divrei Torah. If the king comes to tell you not to study Torah, ein shomin loy, we don't listen to him. So Amasa, it's true he disobeyed the king, but Amasa did it because that was the Torah requirement. As the Gemara goes on to say, Ashkechin, who he found them, the Psicha Lahu B'Masechta. They were all learning a Masechta. They were deeply involved in learning. Omar, so Amasa says, Ksiv, it says a Pasuk in Yeshua, Kol Ish, Moish Rabbeinu tells Yeshua, this is in Yeshua Perek Aleph, when Moish Rabbeinu is giving over the leadership of the Jewish people to Yeshua, and Moish tells Yeshua, Kol Ish Asher Yamre Es Picha. Anybody who disobeys your word, v'lo yishma el divorecha, and will not listen to your words, l'chayil asher titzavenu, for anything you command him, you must, he will die. Whoever disobeys gets put to death. Yachayil afilu l'divrei Torah. Perhaps that means, what if he's disobeying because the Torah says so? Talmud Leimer, the pasuk comes to teach us, rak chazak v'emotz. It says the word Arak. And therefore, because it says the word Arak, Amasa had every right to disobey. Now, and therefore, Yoav had no right to kill Amasa. So therefore, if Yoav has no right to kill Amasa, Yoav, by killing Amasa, is a murderer. Tosfos asks a question, how, even if Yoav was wrong for killing Amasa, nevertheless, Yoav thought he was right. And if somebody thinks he's doing the right thing, and Yoav really believes he's doing the right thing, Yoav really believes that Amasa is chayav misa, so how can you give a person a death penalty when he believed he was doing a mitzvah, and he honestly believed it, and he had good reason to believe it? So Tosfos in Sanhedrin says, my time katlose la Amasa, v'im timer, you may ask, heich nischayav Yoav. How can Benayahu consider Yoav guilty? Again, Benayahu was under instruction of Shlomo to have, from David, to have Yoav put to death, but he has to find a halachic basis. And he, with Avner, Yoav had a good defense. With Amasa also, Yoav says, I thought Amasa was a mighty B'malchus. Now, Amasa, Yoav is wrong, because Amasa had every right, because studying Torah is more important. But not everybody knows that studying Torah is more important. There are those, even in today, there are people who claim that going to the army should take preference over studying Torah. There are those who claim that you should leave the yeshivas and go to the army, even though obviously they're wrong. But still, it's this very fine people who claim that. So how can you put Yoav to death for this? V'im Tamar, heyech niskayev Yoav. How can Yoav be determined as guilty? B'may dekatle Amasa, for what he killed Amasa. He honestly believed that he had every right to kill Amasa. And the din is habo'i hasra. To give a person a death penalty for killing someone, you have to warn him. And nobody ever told Yoav that he's not allowed to kill Amasa. Yoav honestly believed he could. There is an opinion that a chover, a Talmud Chacham, does not need a warning, because he knows you're not allowed to kill people. He knows you're not allowed to break Shabbos or whatever other things there are. Even the one who says chaver ein tzar chasra. So a Talmud Chacham doesn't need to have a warning when he knows it's wrong. But here, did Yoav know it's wrong? He didn't know. Ha'chon le'haya chaver b'davar zeh. Concerning this halacha, whether Amasa was guilty or innocent, Yoav's not a chaver. Because Yoav honestly believed that Amasa was guilty. Shahaya Chayshve Meirid B'Malchus. Yoav considered Amasa a Meirid B'Malchus. Yoav felt he had every right to kill Amasa as a Meirid B'Malchus. So how can you put Yoav to death? Even if Hamasa was right and Yoav was wrong, so Yoav made a mistake, but there's no death penalty for making a wrong halachic decision. Yoav honestly believed he was right. So Tosfos answers, V'yeshleimer. So Tosfos answers, yes. Practically speaking, Hamasa was right and Yoav was wrong. For that, you cannot put Yoav to death. V'yeshleimer d'loy nischayevi. He did not, in the end, even though the main reason that David wanted Yoav put to death was for killing Avner, for killing Amasa, you couldn't put him to death for killing Avner because he came out good in the Din Torah. Even in killing Amasa, he also justified himself. For killing Avshalom, you for sure can't do it. We're soon going to see that there was an issue that he showed David's private letter. For that also, you can't put him to death. So on what basis did they put him to death? Ella, in the end, why was he put to death? As we're soon going to say in the Gemara, Mishum dehu gufei ha-bemayrid b'malchus. He himself rebelled against the king. David had clearly said that he would like, based on Nosan Hanavi, that the continuation of his kingdom will go to his son Shlomo. Adoni Yahu, who was an older son by many, many years, declared himself king. And Yoav went and supported Yoav and Avyasar went and supported Adoni Yahu against the will of David HaMelech, against the will of Hashem through Nosan Hanavi. And therefore, who gufei have a meided b'malchus? Yoav is saying that somebody who's meided b'malchus, who rebels against the king, is chayev misa as a death penalty. In the end of the day, on what basis was Yoav put to death? Because Yoav himself was meided b'malchus. Ela hahu gavra meided b'malchus hava. Yoav himself is a meided b'malchus, has rebelled against the king. As it says, v'hashmua ba ad Yoav. The news came up to Yoav. He says in Rashi, kishenimshach Shlomo, when Shlomo was anointed, ba el Yoav, Yoav heard that David had instructed Nosan Hanavi to gather and Benayahu to anoint his son Shlomo as king, and Yoav and Avyasar had supported an older brother Adoni Yahu, and Yoav became afraid. He heard about this Vinis Yore, and he was afraid, and that's why Yoav ran to Karnais HaMizbeach, the corner of the Mizbeach. So in the end, which also tells us another, answers another question. If David felt Yoav was deserving of death, why did he wait until before his passing? Why didn't he deal with it himself? And the simple answer is that on all the other issues, on all the other four issues, the issue of killing Avner, the issue of killing Amasa, the issue of showing the private letter, the issue of killing Adoni Yahu, Yoav had good justifications, and David knew that he has no chance to get him in a Din Torah. But when Yoav went and supported Adoni Yahu against David's will, against Nosan Hanavi, against the prophecy of Hashem, now Yoav is halachically a meided b'malchus. And that's why we couldn't really punish Yoav until this point. As he goes on to say, ki Yoav nota acharei Adoni Yahu. Yoav had supported Adoniya. Ve'acharei Avshalom lo nota. When Avshalom, the older son, rebelled, Yoav did not support Avshalom. Kishemorad b'David Aviv, when Avshalom rebelled against his father. Now, what do you mean he didn't support Avshalom? Amar Rav Yehuda says, shebikesh lintos. At that point, Yoav was strongly considering supporting Avshalom. Because Yoav, at the point of Avshalom's rebellion, already had a strained relationship with David. He knew David was angry that he killed Avner. David had given him five terrible curses, and he was considering supporting Avshalom. V'loinota, but he did not support Avshalom. Oh, my time on loinota, why did he not support him? Amar Rabbi Elazar, adayin lichluchis shel David kayemes. The moisture of David is still existing. What does it mean here? Rashi says, k'loimar, Rashi explains this Gemara. Why do we have to mention that he did not support Amos? What did he have to fear? The Pasuk tells you, shebikesh lintos gam acharei Avshalom, that he wanted to join after Avshalom, ella sheloi gomar machshavta, he didn't actually do it. He was considering it. Kidem eforesh, as he will explain, mipnei shardayin hoya lichluchis gvurosai shel David kayemes, because the strength of David was still existing. Aval achshav shehiskin, now that he got old, yotza midarka, he went out of, he changed his ways. Yoya felt, in the days of Avshalom, it's not a good idea to support Avshalom. David's going to win. But now that David is old, not to Acharei Adoniah, he decided to support Adoniah. He obviously made a miscalculated decision. Now, going back to the story of Yoav killing Avner. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin continues with the details of Yoav killing Avner. It says, now again, Avner had supported when Shaul died. The tribe of Yehuda made David the king, and the other 11 tribes led by Avner made Shaul's son Ishbosheth the king. Actually, Avner did it based on a pasuk in Parshas Vayishlach, where it says, where Hashem tells Yaakov, "Umelochim mechalotzecho yetzeu." Kings will come from your loins, kings, plural. And at that time, Yaakov already had 11 sons. Only Binyamin was to be born, and kings will come from you, which implies that there'll be two kings from Binyamin. And based on that pasuk, Avner decided to crown Ishbosheth, the son of Shaul, as king. Now, Avner had supported Ishbosheth. At some point, there became a disagreement between Avner and Ishbosheth. Ishbosheth accused Avner of something which Avner was guilty, but Avner still felt, how dare you accuse me when I'm the one who made you king? And Avner went and switched sides to support David. And he came to David, and David actually gave him a condition that if you want to make peace with me, you have to bring my wife Michal, because David had married Michal, and then she had been taken away from David and given to Palti or Paltiel Ben Laish. Just to mention that Shaul arranged a marriage between Michal, halachically was married to David, and Shaul arranged a marriage between Michal and Palti Ben Laish. Palti Ben Laish and Michal never touched each other, because even though Shaul had advice from Doeg HaAdoimi, who was the head of the Sanhedrin, that the marriage between David and Michal is invalid, and Michal is able to marry someone else. There's actually, the Gemara says, one is because the Kiddushin, a problem with the Kiddushin of David, because for the marriage, there had been, Shaul had said that anybody who kills Goliath will become very rich and will marry my daughter. And David killed Goliath, so David had every right to marry Shaul's daughter. And Shaul's older daughter, Merav, went and married someone else. And people were saying that David should take interest in marrying Michal. And Shaul was in agreement. And Shaul tells David that if you want to marry Michal, you have to bring Mea Orlois Plishtim, 100 foreskins of the Plishtim. David says, David went, instead of bringing 100 Orlois Plishtim, he brought 200 Orlois Plishtim, and he gave them, and through that, he was given and married Michal. Now, the halacha question mentioned in our Gemara about the marriage with Michal, instead of giving a ring, David gave two things. He gave the 200 Orlois Plishtim, that he had killed 200 Plishtim. And in addition, Shaul had promised him Oysher Godel, great wealth, and he's forfeiting the great wealth to marry the princess. But as far as the great wealth, it's a din of HaMekadesh B'milve. And Mekadesh B'milve Eino Mekudeshes. If you give Kiddushin, you actually have to give something. If you're just foregoing alone, that's not Mekudeshes. And as far as the Mea Orlois, the question is, if the item that the chosen gives the kala has to be worth a pruta. The question is the value of mea arlis plishtim. Is it worth a shava pruta? The Gemara says it's good for pet food. The question is what mea arlis plishtim is worth. In any case, doyeg ha'adayim, there's a medrash that brings that doyeg ha'adayim, another way why doyeg annulled the marriage. Doyeg ha'adayim said that David has rebelled against the king, therefore he's chayiv misa, he's punishable by death, and therefore since he gets a death penalty, it's as if he's dead. Since it's as if he's dead, Michal has a din of a widow, and a widow can marry someone else. And that's why one of the reasons the medrash brings that he's called doyeg ha'adayim, because hitir domai shel David, he made it permissible to kill David. Anyway, so going back, Avner had made peace with David, and Avner brought Michal back. I mentioned that this Palti ben Laish bringing Michal back was crying, even though he had never touched her, because he had the great mitzvah, he and Michal, of not touching each other, even though they were, at least according to Doyeg and according to Shaul, they were married, but they never touched each other. And there is actually an amazing Gemara that says on the pasuk, Sheker hachein vehevel hayoyfi. The Gemara says that Yosef is a great man because he resisted with Potiphar's wife for a few minutes, but Boaz resisted with Ruth a whole night, and Palti ben Laish is the greatest because he resisted for a lengthy amount of time. He was with Michal, and they never touched each other. Anyway, Avner, in any case, brought Michal back, and David makes peace with Avner. Now, Yoav hears that Avner had made peace with David. Vayishlach malachim achrei Avner. He sent messengers to get Avner, that Yoav wants to see you, and Avner comes for a meeting with Yoav. Vayoshivu oisai miboir hasira. And they brought him back from the pit and the thorn. My boir hasira, what is this pit and thorn? Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kana, this is still the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The reason Avner was killed, in other words, Avner was killed because Yoav had it in for him. That's why Avner was killed. But why did Hashem want Avner to be killed? Because of a story of a boid, of a pit of water, and a sira, and a thorn, that caused Avner to be killed. How does the pit of water and the thorn cause Avner to be killed? Rashi brings, boid v'sira gormuloy la'avner sheh. Neherag, a pit of water and a thorn caused Avner to be killed. Boid is sapachas mayim shelokach David merashoysof shel Shaul. When David took a jug of water from Shaul, from near David's head, there was a time kishaya yoshin b'magal. Shaul was in a cave, he was sleeping and around with a group of his men, and David was in the same cave, and without noticing David, David took this water from right next to Shaul because all his men were sleeping. And then he wakes them. David calls him from the distance. David tells Shaul's men, you guys deserve to be killed. You didn't guard your master. He was asleep. I walked right up to you and you didn't guard him. I could have easily killed him. I walked right up to him. I took his water, his negovaser. I took the water by his head. Look, where is his spear? I have his spear. Where's the jug of water? Now, David said this to show that Shaul wants to kill him, and he has nothing against Shaul. This was an opportunity to stop the friction between Shaul and David. Now, Avner has a lot of influence on Shaul, and he could have stopped the friction. Avner Avner should have protested against Shaul. Avner could have said to Shaul, look how righteous David is. That he didn't kill you. He didn't protest. And Omar, he said, maybe a member of the army gave it. And then there was another story with a thorn, Sira, a kite. When David, on a second occasion, went right up to Shaul when Shaul was in a cave. Shaul was hiding in a cave. And David cut the edge of his garment. And David says, look, I could have killed you. It was an opportunity for General Avner to find positive for David and to say to Shaul, look how much mercy he has. He could have killed you and he didn't kill you. But Avner could have stopped the friction. But he didn't do that. He said, David has the garment is because he passed a thorn and it got stuck on a thorn. And David cut it from a thorn. Then we have with Yoav, with Amasa. It says by Amasa, actually correct, still with Avner, correction. With Avner still. Yoav got Avner by the gate to speak with him Basheli. What's Sheli? Sheli al iske shaloi. On the issue of removal of a shoe. Loshein from the words Shalno Alecha. We have, it says, Shalno Alecha mi'al raglecha. Remove your shoes from your feet because you're standing on Admas Kodesh. It's in this week's parasha that David, when he's by the burning, not Moshe Rabbeinu at the burning bush, is told to remove his shoes. Shalno Alecha. And the word Basheli is from the word Shal. It was over the issue of a removal of a shoe. How does a removal of a shoe connect to Avner's death? So again, Yoav made a meeting with Avner and Shalai Ba'arma. He asked him in trickery, Yevama Gidemes Heyechay Letzes. He says, I have a halacha question for you, Avner. There's a Yevama, there's a woman who needs Yibum, but she has no hands. And the halacha is to have chalitza. She has to take off his shoe, but she has no hands. So if she's Gidemes, she has no shoes. Heyechay Letzes. How does she do the chalitza? Hischil Avner Shoicha Milafonov. Avner began bending down Umareyu and he was showing him Kahi Chaylatzes Bishinel. This is the way you do it with the sheet, with the teeth. So Avner bent down, and meanwhile, Vahu Yoav Shalaf Harboy, he took out his sword, Vaharga, and he killed him. As it says, with the sword which was on his belt, which that's how he killed Amos, as we'll soon see, with the shoe that was at his feet. It says he took him Bashar to the gate. What do you mean he took him to the gate? After Yoav had Avner down, he says to Avner, okay, I'm going to give you, before I kill you, I'm going to give you a chance for self-defense. My time of Katlasela Asoil. Why did you kill my brother Asoil? So Avner answers, I killed Asoil. Asoil Raidepoy. Asoil was trying to kill me. I killed him in self-defense. So he tells him, you should have saved him with one of his limbs. So he says, I couldn't. I was not able to. So he says, you say you weren't able to. You got him on the fifth rib, which caused instant death, and you couldn't cut one of his limbs. And what does it mean? Over the issue of removing on the issue of shaloi here could be over on the issue of the issue between them. They were discussing his innocence or guilt. Rav Yechanan says that he killed him by the doifen chamishes. Then it says, the Heshiv Hashem es domay al roishay, that Hashem will put his blood, when we killed Avner, his blood, asher paga, b'shnei anoshim tzadikim v'toivim imenu. He struck two people who were more righteous and better than him. Now, why do we say that Avner and Amos are better than Yoav? Toivim, they're better than him. Shahayu doirshim achin verakim. They knew that you don't always obey the king. Both Avner and Amasa both had a time that they made a decision not to obey the king because the king gave them instruction to do something wrong. But he didn't do this. When Yoav was given an instruction by a king to do something wrong, he did it. In other words, both Avner was given an instruction to kill the Kayanim and Noiv, and he refused to do it. Amasa was given instruction to gather an army. He refused to do it. Tzadikim Shehin Bepeh, they were given verbal instruction straight from David. and they refused to do it because it was against the Torah. V'loyasu v'hubi geres, and he, Avner got a straight instruction from King Shaul, and he did. He refused to do it because it was against Torah. V'hu, and he be geres, he got a letter about putting Uriah up at the front, and he did do it even though he knew it was wrong. Shehem darshu achim berakim. They, you knew how to use the word achen rak, that there's a time that you don't obey the king. Amos, as we said, that he found them studying Torah, he didn't want to take them away from learning. Avner, as we said, when Avner says, gather, surround and kill the Kayanim, because they gave weapons and bread to the, it says, the Avdei Shaul, Shaul's servants, including Avner, refused to touch him. But he was not Deirish, he didn't learn Achen Rak. He killed Uriah, he put Uriah at the front by the instruction of David. David, it was only instruction he got through a letter. It says, Vayichtev Basefer, he said he wrote in a letter to put Uriah at the front. And still Yoav did it. We have a pasuk v'amosa le'nishmar b'cherev asher b'yad Yoav. Amosa was not careful with the sword that Amosa, when he killed Amosa, he wasn't careful with the sword. Yoav dropped the sword and Amosa just thought he picked it up and then he killed Amosa. Amosa saw Yoav picking up the sword, but he didn't suspect him in any way. Just to end on a more positive note, we have David has a brother, Avishai. I was going to go through this in detail, but not going to have time. David, at the end of the Haftarah last week, also gives instruction to have Shimi ben Gera killed because Shimi ben Gera gave a terrible curse to David. At the time, David decided not to have him killed, and Avishai asked for permission. Maybe I'll do this in another week more in detail, but Avishai asked permission. He said, Loma Yakalel Hakelav Hameis, Ebronov Asira Asraisha, I want to remove his head. And David says, Hashem Omar Lekalel, Hashem told him to curse me. And there's a whole thing in Tanya. What do you mean Hashem told Shimi ben Gera to curse David? Hashem never told Shimi ben Gera to curse David. But it says in Tanya, in Perekhof, Hey, Avid Geras HaKadosh, that Hashem, at the time that Shimi ben Gera cursed David, Hashem gave him the power of speech. And Hashem gave him the urge. And therefore, it's as if Hashem told him, and he gives a rule in Tanya, he got us HaKadosh Simon Chof Hei, that if somebody does something to you, even if there's a negative thing and it's against the Torah, but the fact that Hashem gave the person the urge to do it, and Hashem gave the person the ability to do it, is an indication that Hashem accepted it to be, the person still gets a punishment. However, he brings in, he got us HaKadosh Simon Chof Hei, that that if you get angry, it's as if one is serving idolatry, because if something happens, Hashem didn't want it to happen, it couldn't happen. Okay.